Under the skin.
Sleeper show is? Sleeper show is basically the show that you had no idea that it was going to be as good as it possibly could be. So they would have been amazing out on the pool deck, but this atrium has never rocked so hard as they did tonight. Ever. I mean, this is above and beyond gonna be one of the shows that everybody's talking about from Jam Cruise 13. I've worked with these guys before and I knew they were amazing, but I even didn't know how ridiculous this set could possibly have been. You know, we've been through a lot in the last 24 hours. We really have. You know, we literally have had to change almost every show in every venue. So please give it up for Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds. Epic. This is Jam Cruise 13. This is the kind of stuff that happens on Jam Cruise 13. Thank you, everybody.
Hello and welcome to Under the Scales. I'm your host, Tom Marshall. I want to quickly remind you that Under the Scales is a proud member of the Osiris family of podcasts. Go to osirispod.com and check out other music and culture podcasts. Gift-giving season is almost upon us again. Our sponsor, Masterclass, has a great deal, which would make an amazing gift for a parent or friend, or even for yourself. I'm hooked on Masterclass. I'm a customer. Masterclass is an Osiris sponsor who offers amazing quality online video classes taught by the best teachers in the world. I've been taking classes from some very interesting superstars. I'm interested in hearing from the writers, directors, and authors that Masterclass has built lessons around. Lately, I've watched the one by Malcolm Gladwell a couple times now. He's the author of some of my favorite books, including The Tipping Point, Outliers, and David and Goliath. Even though these books are mandatory business reading, they're not business books at all. They're idea books. They're history books. Masterclass gets Malcolm Gladwell to talk about how he harvests and develops ideas. It's amazing. And like I said, I watched his lesson multiple times now. The same with directors Ron Howard and Martin Scorsese. These are just a few of the more than 35 masters that teach lessons on Masterclass, and new classes are always being added. Whether you're pursuing your passions or developing your career, you'll find a Masterclass for you. Under the Scales listeners can unlock access to every Masterclass for a year right now for a very low price. Go to masterclass.com/scales. That's masterclass.com/scales. Thanks, Masterclass.
Hello and welcome to Under the Scales. This is Tom Marshall, and the Under the Scales mobile recording studio is in Boulder right now. We are on day three of Dix, and I'm here with an amazing guest. We're sitting in a really great house in Boulder. Would you agree this is a really cool house?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And you guys might have already recognized the voice of my current guest on that clip that I just played. But I'm sitting here, of course, with Annabelle Lukens. Hi, Annabelle. How are you?
Hi, Tom. I'm great. How are you?
We're doing so good. We shouldn't get too hung up on it, but let's at least talk about the events that led us to here. And what I'm talking about, of course, is Curveball. I think people want to hear about it and hear what other people are feeling and everything like that. To you, what was it? Was it just like a travel disaster, or was like your life culminating to that moment?
I had a very challenging summer, to say the least. Probably the worst summer in memory.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had four tragic deaths. My daughter was sick for a month. I had $50,000 worth of hail damage to my house.
What?
My car was close to being totaled, and I didn't do any of summer tour because all lines led to Curveball. So none of it mattered because my level of pain was at the top and my level of happy was at the bottom, but it was going to be okay because we were all going to be together up in Watkins Glen. But I mean, my story, everybody's story, the band's story, the vendor's story. I was at a festival called Nedfest in Netherlands a couple weeks ago, and I saw these great vendors. They have a four-month-old baby, and they drove to Curveball, and that was going to be, you know, the biggest profit of their whole summer. So, I mean, it just hurt for everybody, and, yeah. And there's been a lot of people that have come together and said that it's, we were all in this together, we get through it together, and that is totally, totally true. But it's also not just about being positive, because the community and our lives is also about the tragedies that we have. And so we have to commiserate together and lament together. And so it was important to share the sadness as well as, you know, what we did to sort of rise above.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud as a fan base and as a band, kind of uniting in the way that we get through this, and also kind of the way that Phish came out and took the stage night one of Dicks, where all that summer energy and all the festival cancellation energy spilled out into that first song, Free.
Free. I mean, that's what we are, is we are free.
Yeah.
And no matter, we all lost a lot of money, we lost a lot of time, it was emotionally draining,
yeah.
But we are safe.
Yeah.
And we are healthy and we are free. And
yeah, no one got sick as far as I know.
And
that's amazing.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, so we're here and Phish is playing incredibly well. Those two shows, do you have a favorite so far, favorite set, anything like that?
I have a couple of favorite jams just when I close my eyes and think about how intensely they're playing and how emotional some of the jams were just, I think they were really focusing on letting go. And just as we were talking about Free, just being free.
Yes.
And in a show, I always have moments, highlighted moments.
Me too. I had an irrational moment during Free.
Oh yeah.
They were playing so well that I thought they're not going to be able to continue this level.
Right.
I was kind of like irrationally thinking, oh shit, they've come out too hard almost.
Right.
But then, sometimes when Trey comes out, you can see it in his face.
Yeah.
Like that continued the whole show, which is great.
You know, it's so crazy. You said you can see it in his face, but where I watch the show from is in the back of the venue, but I could feel it just as much as you could see it.
Yes.
And it hit hard in a great way. But yeah, I mean, you saying you were struggling with that, but then that Down With Disease jam was just so huge at the end, basically, of the second set. So it was, you know, they know how to carry on for as long as they need to.
Now, so why do you know everyone in the Phish scene? And why do you have so many? Your posse is massive.
It's a massive posse. I mean, I have, when people say, who do you go to a Phish show with?
You say everyone.
Right. I mean, I love hopping around and seeing everybody. It's just part of my thing. I have a core group that I see the show with. It's my PH family. It's just like, you know, you go to holidays with your F family and Thanksgiving and Christmas. I go to Phish shows with my PH family. But part of my thing, especially at Dick's, which is just one of the greatest venues that Phish plays at, is just to run around and see people.
Yeah.
And say hi to people and tell stories and hug and just...
It's exactly like what we say on Under the Scales all the time. It's as much about the, you know, getting there and the pre-show and the post-show as it is the show.
Well, it's, you know, one of my favorite moments last night was that my best friend from New York comes out to see Phish with me every year, and she went down on the floor, and we had been hearing 2001 Teases for 2 days, and we knew it was coming.
And what an amazing one.
It was so good. That, I think, was the moment where basically we were just all like, we took a deep breath and just settled into what was going to happen for the rest of the set. And I knew, and I almost turned to my friend and said, Joyce is about to come back. And I knew that she would come back to me for 2001.
Right.
It's just that connection with the people that I see the music with.
You orbit each other like satellites, and then when you come together when you have to.
And I just knew it. And so she was there. And so it is really so much about the connection I have with the people, as much as it is the music. And so why... I don't know. I was given a gift at an early age to be a social butterfly. And Phish actually has been a part of my emotional upbringing as far as helping me become more secure about who I am and that I'm in the right place.
Me too.
The right thing.
That exactly describes me.
I know. Yeah. You are.
I became sort of very confident kind of, and I wasn't before at all. You know, able to interview people, you know, that's a thing that I've sort of developed through Phish too.
I mean, let alone the lyrics that you have contributed to, but yes, the
interview. Putting yourself out there.
It really is. You fit in. And when you find your place that you fit in, and it's so that you need to nurture and embrace
yourself.
It. That's what I give off. And
totally.
I need to.
I think you give that to other people too.
I do. Someone said, oh, your energy, it's so positive. It's almost like you wonder what your purpose is because people wander around this world for years.
I think you found yours.
And that's great. Thank God I get to give that to people in the Phish world, but also in my professional life.
Yeah.
And that is a gift.
Let's get into your professional. Recognizing a gift is as valuable as getting the gift.
You know what I mean?
I know. And it's good that you do that. Yeah. Gratefulness goes a long way. And it's clear in you that you see that, which is awesome. You're obviously a super friendly person. It's like hard to... You know, you must not be able to walk by without giving like 75 hugs, like, in 1 hour.
It's a blessing and a curse, I say, because especially at Phish, it's so funny because I can't go anywhere without people recognizing me. And it's great. I always say I'm famous in this tiny little world.
Yes. That's what I used to say to my son, Daddy, are you famous? Like when someone would come up to me, ask for a picture. And I said, everyone's famous. It's just the size. Like I said, you're really famous in our family, Brody. Right? Right? But my family's just a little bit bigger.
So then you and I are matched in that way.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's funny because Cloud9 Adventures, you know, we do 10 events a year. And so I had people coming up to me last night. Hey, Annabelle, thanks for all you do. See you in January. Or I've come to Panic in La Playa 5 times, which I also love because, you know, there's Widespread Panic fans at the Phish show and et cetera.
Yeah.
And so it's great. You know, sometimes it's hard for me because I never work at Phish. I always seem to work at my other favorite bands or really kind of network in many ways. And Phish is really like my, you know, I pay for my tickets.
Yeah.
I'm in GA.
Yes.
You know, I don't need to be backstage.
I don't
have my laminate on like I do at most other shows.
Gotcha.
And of course, I'm friends with the band and Fishman. I have been friends since 97, but that's not what it's about for me. So whereas, you know, I have to be very courteous and loving to the people and remember that I bring them joy, and so I want to be able to, and they want to talk about the lineup on Jam Cruise, and I want to say to them in some way like, that's my job.
Yeah.
And right, I want to enjoy the show just like you, but I don't because that's what I was put on this earth to do. It's just
all right, well, we're alluding to a lot of things that we're going to cover, so let's get there. But I want to ask you first, what was your first Phish show, just to get this out of the way.
Well, you asked also my first Phish show was May 1st in 1993.
Oh, nice.
And it was at the Man.
Oh, in Philly. Okay, great.
Yeah, it was it. And I was a student at Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Were you an engineering student?
I was far from that. Oh. I was a journalism major because I wasn't really sure who I was at that point.
Okay, right.
Lots
of engineers at Lehigh.
Oh, I'm quite aware. I lived with one. My girl that took me my first Grateful Dead show was an engineer. I used to call them all engine nerds. I married an engine nerd, by the way. Anyway, so not from Lehigh, but thank you. Today is my 11-year wedding anniversary. It's funny, there's... Obviously, Tom, we could probably talk for hours, but anyway, so today is my 190th show.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny, being a Phish head for so long, everyone's like, that's so many shows. I'm like, no, it is really not. I should be at so many, but life, and I have a child, has gotten in the way, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that's a good number. That's a great
number. It is a great number. It's a great number. The man, it was funny, because everyone's like, what was it like for you at first? And I was seeing the Grateful Dead since 1991, and then, which was a late start, but still great. And so then I, you know, went to the man the first night, and it was a lovely, lovely show, great gig in the sky and whatever. And the second night they played Big Fat Furry Creature from Mars. And I was a deadhead at that point, and I almost took a turn.
You almost said, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, it was a little bit scary, but obviously, you know, I live to tell the story 190 shows later that it hasn't been.
There it is. So now, Annabelle, I knew you, that your professional gig, and I understand that there's multiple parts of this, but the big one that a lot of people know you from, and you alluded to it already, is Jam Cruise. Now, you got involved with Jam Cruise very early, because you're up to like number 17.
This is Jam Cruise 17 in January.
Amazing.
And it's so interesting how my whole life revolves back to fish. It just always just seems to. And I was working as the marketing director of Planet Bluegrass in Lyons, Colorado. They produced Telluride Bluegrass Festival. I had hightailed out of here from New York City for this job, and the job ended, and I put my resume around, and great friend of mine who actually started the PH family named Aaron Schimmel said Jam Cruise needed a marketing director, to which I was very confused because Jam Cruise 1 had sold out in like 60 seconds because it was the first time they were like, let's do...
What year was that? Do you remember?
That the Jam Cruise, yeah, Jam Cruise 1 was 2003.
And so you weren't officially involved yet?
I wasn't. My boss, Mark Brown, one of the greatest ever to exist, was on a cruise in the beach at St. Martin at one of the port stops and was looking at a cruise ship, and he was doing festivals at Mayo Island in Richmond, Virginia with Rain and Porta Potties and, you know, Curveball plus Coventry all together, and was like, why am I not doing
it on this luxury?
You know, there's cabin stewards, they make your, you know, towels into bunnies and put your sunglasses on them. And it's just, you know, it's a luxury way to see music.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were all mature music fans at that point. So he brought me on, and Aaron Schimmel told me about the job. I got the interview and they loved me and they loved the idea I came up with for artist activities. But I was a fish head and they were potentially concerned that, you know, stereotype of a fish head.
Right.
Well,
it has the word Jam Cruise, so that should be okay.
I know, but they weren't sure if I should get the job because I was a fish head. What if I was like, you know, some lot kid that wasn't going to be able to cut the mustard?
Yeah.
And so they asked Big Jomo, John Moore, in New York City.
Yeah.
And he's a fish head. Maybe he knows Annabelle, which goes back to everybody knows me. And he said, you would be a fool not to hire her.
Ah, very good, Gemma.
And so it worked out, you know, and I told Mark I'll never have another job for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
And so now that's kind of your main gig.
That is my main gig, although Cloud9 does many events. That is sort of my baby, my bread and butter. I mean, every time we come out with the lineup or do the schedule, I always joke with Mark that we've just birthed another child.
Having never done it, to my shame, and I might have to still at some point. Just really quick, just to get my head wrapped around it, where does it go from where to where? How long? How big are the boats? How many people get on? How many bands? How many venues?
Right, all of the above. I mean, it has fluctuated over the years, and we, for the past at least 5 years or more, have left out of Miami.
Okay.
We used to leave out of Fort Lauderdale. The Cloud9 offices are now in Delray Beach. They originally were in Mark Brown's apartment in Boca Raton.
Okay.
And Jam Cruise 1 was 4 days. Jam Cruise 2, which was back-to-back, was also 4 days. And then we went comfortably to 5 days.
Wow.
And now we're going to 6 days, which will be...
Seems like a long time to be on a boat with a bunch of... I mean, I like escaping a little bit. I like going to fish and then leaving.
The great news is that everybody has their own cabin, whether they're by themselves or with a partner.
Oh, that's true.
So you can escape there. Also, we have 3 port stops.
Oh.
And there's nothing that goes on during the port stops. We really just get off so that everybody, if you want to go to go see the ruins in Mexico, or if you want to go... we have a nonprofit arm, and if you want to do community service or go on...
So you go down to Mexico and then hit a couple islands and come back?
Sure. I mean, we go to different locations. So we're going to Belize as one of them. We go to, you know, because it's only 5 days, there's only certain islands
right.
we can get to.
So you can get down to Central America. And some of the Northern Islands in the Caribbean.
So we've done all of those, and we just rotate, and it's fine. You know, people just love the opportunity to get off the ship, whether it's a familiar port or unfamiliar, and then that's a time for, as I said, people to sleep or do whatever they want to do. And
cool. And lots of bands on board.
Lots of bands, like 25 bands, and most bands play two shows.
Okay.
So I mean, it's just thousands of people. We have about five venues, three main venues, and then a disco, and then an acoustic venue. We have an atrium, a piano atrium, which were one of the.
So this is one of those massive big boats.
It is. I mean, the one we go on now it's much smaller than the one we. I mean, we've been on ships that hold 3,500 people.
Oh wow!
This is now 2,500 people, which is great because it's intimate, so you do run into people a lot more often. And I mean, the difference is huge music festivals. I mean, I used to work at Lollapalooza, that from one end to the other is a mile long.
Yeah.
I mean, Jam Cruise, you're just running up and down the stairs from one venue to the other. So if you're missing a show for 10 minutes, it's only because went to the other show and you'll be right back.
So a lot less distance to cover. So it really is a floating festival, basically.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really cool. That's a cool way of thinking about it. And everyone's in luxury and everyone's happy and sees as much music as they want, eats all they want. Port stops. Sounds actually kind of amazing.
It is ultimate. It really is
the
ultimate trip for a music fan.
And when does it hit? When do they leave? What's the schedule?
It's always January. Okay. So it's just, you know, all of our Cloud Nine events are, it's cold in most of the locations where you live, so come to Cloud Nine, where we're going to bring you to the tropics and
warm you up with some music and stuff.
Yeah. And but people call me Tanuary because I'm always tan in January, and it's weird.
Well, because of your expertise at curating these jam cruises, I thought, and it's something that my Under the Scales audience likes a lot, is if we could kind of make this one a musical one. We'll talk as much as you want about like events on Jam Cruise, but it would be kind of cool if we could intersperse it with some clips, some music.
Sounds good.
And I see you've done a little bit of research in that regard. You came with some clips.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, it all just comes back to fish.
They were right to be worried about you.
It's all tied back into that. I just loved the time when they did play in Miami, and then we jumped on Jam Cruise the day after. I mean, it was just very convenient. So thanks, Fish. But, I mean, Fishman has been on Jam Cruise. I mean, he's such good friends with me. And so we love to collaborate with each other. And it just was, he knows, it just was such a great experience for him on many levels. One of his closest friends, who is one of my closest friends, was Colonel Bruce Hampton.
Oh, right.
We were in Atlanta together, and, you know, I have great photos of Fish and Bruce on board Jam Cruise.
Oh, fantastic.
And, you know, there was just, a real friendship, and it just me being able to help provide the opportunity for musicians who love each other to come together.
Yeah.
Like, I think they spent most of the cruise just talking to each other, and that makes me happy. You know, one of the other musicians who I was able to do that with was George Porter and Bruce. I helped facilitate a friendship between two people who loved each other very, very much, because the time that they got to have together was on Jam Cruise. And the clip that I brought to you was from the Jam Room. And it's from, we call George Porter the king of the Jam Room. Because I make him a host every year. So
he's like the resident bass player.
I call him like the king of the jam room, because
the band forms around him, kind of.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he's on bass, and you know, other people can come in on bass if they want, but everybody wants to play with George.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the forefathers of music. So for him to come on Jam Cruise, and just for him to be so connected to so many different musicians and fans, is what it's about. And the Jam Room is such a unique part of our cruise that it's important for me to have a very organic member of the music scene to come with no agenda. And most people, if you're hosting a jam room, you'll ask a bunch of musicians to come sit in with you. But when George is the host,
he doesn't have to ask.
No. Everyone just wants to come. And actually, it was great. Last year, we had Medeski, Schofield, Martin, and Wood on board.
Oh,
and it was
God.
The 20th anniversary of a go-go. And George Porter's wife, dear friend of mine, Era, passed away. And John Scofield doesn't necessarily want to show up in the jam room, which starts at 2 o'clock in the morning, but he wanted to honor Era. So he came and sat in with George. And so connection is just vital. And
that's
again,
amazing.
It just comes back to Phish and the connection that we all have together and how we lift each other up at the hardest times and how music can save us from any sort of sadness. It's just such a beautiful thing. But Love Light,
let's hear this clip,
is about, you know, George loves to sing Love Light, but that was the last song that was played of Colonel Bruce Hampton's life at his birthday party in Atlanta that Fishman was there for, and so many others. So I thought it would be appropriate to have a clip of George Porter Jr. doing Love Light.
Now, singing here is George, right?
Singing here
Bruce
is George.
Bruce is not involved.
Bruce never even played on Jam Cruise.
Okay.
He gambled in the casino and was more of a spirit animal of the cruise than a musician, but we honored him in so many ways. So I just thought it was just parallel to sort of...
Beautiful. That's great. Well, let's hear this version of Love Light. Wow, that's really great.
Yeah, it's special. That's definitely special.
That's so cool.
And when Era died, you know, I was one of the first people that George called. And so, you know, to circle back to why I know everybody and what my purpose is just the relationship that I have formed, whether it's through Phish or whether through Jam Cruise, are lifelong. And really deep, not surface. I'm not a surface friend. And of course, I know so many different people. I can't have complete intimacy with everybody, but
right.
I really try.
Yeah.
Because it's important. And Ivan Neville happens to be one of those others. To me, he is just a vital part of my existence. And he comes on board Jam Cruise every year. We work together to figure out where his placement will be, whether it's Dumps to Funk or whether it's with Dragon Smoke. But one thing that Ivan does every year, which I've helped curate and helped really nurture, is the piano sets. We have a piano, whether it's usually in an atrium.
All right.
And it could start out being just them with a piano, or they could have special guests come up. And Ivan is the king of the piano sets.
So we have king of the jam room, George Porter, king of the piano sets, Ivan Neville.
And
it sounds like royalty already.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an elite, not
that's
a clicky, but it's just really kind of the best of the best
that
in a way.
We
really have had almost all of the legends of the music scene.
I was just blown away by Dumps to Funk for the first time ever, by the way.
When did you get to see them?
Well, I saw them within 6 months ago, and the reason I did was my one of my very best friends, Lindsay McCord's son, Alex Wasili, is their new trombone player.
That's fantastic.
And he is amazing in it, and he's great. I mean, it's such an amazing band.
I love how that is what connected you to it.
Yes.
Because it's in, you know, and it's such a...
Well, I see so much music with, and it's almost all fit. Like, you're different than I am. I see Phish and get happy, and I'm good with live music. But, so I don't get out like you do and see bands.
Well, you also have a real job, and you have a family back in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different.
So
my job is to go out.
Such a treat for me.
Good.
And they came out mean, and two bass players.
I know. Tony Hall played, you know, Tony Hall can do.
Tony Hall came out.
Right.
You
Nick
know,
Daniels and Tony Hall, but Tony
and we all know
guitar
Tony
through Trey. I know.
But that was kind of like the surprise for me was Tony Hall came out playing Strat.
Yeah, he was a great guitar player.
And I was like, darn it.
Right.
Because I like him on bass.
But,
and then he tossed the guitar away after the first song. Double bass, I was in heaven. It was beautiful.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no, he is an incredible musician. That band is amazing. And it is, again, nice how it
Well, if Dumpster Funk is on Jam Cruise, I'm going to come on.
Okay, great. Well, I promise you, and Tony Hall, if you're listening, I know you'll love this one, that they will be again.
Okay,
they
good.
Are almost every other year. We just try to mix it up as much as we can.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Well, let's hear now. This is Ivan doing a cover, you said.
He always comes up with a cover. Now, Ivan Neville likes to put on a I'm a tough guy kind of attitude. Yeah. He's not.
He seems tough.
That man has cried like a baby in front of thousands of people. And he is not afraid to tell you the story of it. So he sings Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. And you're like, where are you coming out with these ballads?
Yeah.
And he just loves to sort of become vulnerable.
And
that Jam Cruise allows that, freedom to just settle down and figure out, where am I? And so the Landslide was one, and, Boys of Summer was one. And the clip that we're going to hear, it was just really funny. Again, just... he played Dave Matthews' Crash, and it is just funny. I actually saw Dave Matthews recently, and it's so funny because Phish fans, Dave Matthews fans, that I found out Crash is apparently a bathroom song.
Oh.
Like, I didn't know I was in the pit for Dave Matthews.
Well,
you have to punish the
song that gets overplayed,
I hear you, and I mean, Phish has that too, but it was just like...
Which is Phish's, in your opinion? Come on.
Really?
You're not going to insult me. I know it's one of mine.
Petrichor?
Oh, no, that's not... No, you had said a different one, I thought. Okay.
All but right. It's not like I get to hear that very often. I mean, some ballads. I mean, come on.
Okay.
I just Life on Mars. Bring it back, boys. Just get it off the shelf. Bring back Life on Mars.
Speaking of ballads and songs coming back, last night, my favorite song of the whole night was Shade.
It's beautiful.
It was so cool.
It's a beautiful song and poignant. So many of those songs right now really just hit home.
That one hit home.
I understand.
And I was with someone who doesn't see Phish a lot.
Yeah.
And watching him react to it, which was kind of cool.
He was moved.
He was blown away.
Oh,
yeah.
He's good.
Like, didn't know that Phish had that side to
That's
him.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so lovely. It's so real. I mean, our lives that we lead are so painful and beautiful and emotional. It can't just be about, stepping into the freezer, which I'm sure they're going to play a ripping of one tonight, but I mean, the point is just that it needs to also be about where are we in our lives.
And also letting emotions crash into you.
100%. So that's why Ivan knew what he was doing when he got that song together. And so I guess...
Here it goes.
Got your chain tied to me, tie me up again. Who's got their claws in you, my friend? Into your heart I'll beat again. Sweet like candy to my soul. Sweet you rock and sweet you roll. Lost for you, I'm so lost for you. Come and crash in the main, and I come and show you in the boy's dream.
Wow, now that is a beautiful version of that one.
Yeah, he really, really knows how to hit the heart. For sure.
Now you have some amazing rockers on too. You sent me a couple of clips of like amazing songs of bands I've never heard of, to my shame.
Well, I mean, that is one of the beauties of Jam Cruise. We sell out every year, and of course we rely on the marketing of the bands for people to, if you're a fan of the band, come on Jam Cruise, and that too buys cabins, but also people just rely on Jam Cruises that we introduce them to so much new music.
Well, I'm introduced, and I'm a fan of a band, and I'm not sure if you know the one I'm talking about.
I think that I do. The new one that this next clip is going to...
I was certain it was a woman singer. Is it that one? a different one.
Exactly. I made sure to let you know that this was a man who was singing.
The voice is so good.
Oh,
it's an incredible voice. This is my favorite song on my favorite album of my favorite, third favorite band, I should say.
Well,
Beatles, Fish, Zep.
That is so great that you say that. And I definitely want to tie everything that we talked to I want to tie in everything that we talk about back into Fish on some level, because it still is always so connected. Like, one of my standout sets was Atlantic City, which with the Tweezer Led Zeppelin the night before Halloween night was just, it was so mind-blowing, and it just kept going. And Tweezer, as I even mentioned, saying that I want to hear tonight, is just... it's just one of the greatest songs that Fish plays, and to loop it in and out of Led Zeppelin was just like, are you absolutely kidding me? Plus the energy of Atlantic City, which is also one of my favorite places to see Fish in. It's just all
That was good connected. Energy, and it all worked. Yeah, totally connected.
It just worked so well.
Right.
And the clip we're going to talk about is not the Green Sky Bluegrass clip that we can talk about maybe afterwards, which is Atlantic City and their cover of it, which is so beautiful. But now you're going to talk about the Main Squeeze. So the Main Squeeze was on Jam Cruise last year, and Corey is the main singer. And sometimes I don't get to see every set and every song, so I actually manipulate my time on Jam Cruise by asking the bands if I could see their set lists.
Oh, cool.
Because another clip that we're going to play, I missed a version of Killing in the Name of that Nikki Gillespie played with Galactic. And I yelled at Galactic, I'm like, how could you not tell me you were going to cover that? And it's like, they're like, Annabelle, how did we know that we were supposed to do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I am never not asking these bands what their set list is.
There you go.
So I found out when in the set list,
they were going to play
the Main Squeeze was going to play my favorite Fish cover. And that's a bold statement, because Ride Captain Ride and I have such an amazing memory of meeting somebody named Aaron Stein, who is significant in the Fish world, and at Philly, because they played Ride Captain Ride, and he looked at me and I looked at him, and we both freaked out, and we're like, well, obviously we're supposed to be friends. And that was the beginning of our friendship. But No Quarter.
Yes.
It is just...
that's amazing.
One of the most powerful songs.
And this Paige is a great cover.
Yeah. It's so great.
Fish's cover of it is amazing. I saw Paige cover it in Vita Blue. And afterwards, when he and I talked, I said, that was fantastic. And he said to me, yeah, but it would be better with a guitar.
Oh, that is so... but that's Paige.
It was humble.
It's just like he's so...
humble.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean...
I didn't feel that at all, because his singing of it was beautiful.
No, but that's just Paige.
Yeah.
It's like Mr. Humble Man.
He was humble.
It's like, please, give me a break.
You're
so
give
fabulous.
Yourself a break. I know.
Exactly. God, give me a little ego. I mean, that's...
But then, a few years later...
Lomboy, is this still Lomboy? Honestly, I mean, the Lomboy...
A few years later, though, Fish covered it.
Ugh.
And wow.
I mean... it is.
So now here is Main Squeeze. I was blown away by the presentation.
That is.
Let's way, hear it. Let's
right.
hear it. All right. We'll be right back. That's just
so special. Great. And so these are the moments that I take away from Jam Cruise and say to myself, never before and never again. I mean, you know, the sit-ins and the collaborations that happen on Jam Cruise are just endless. Bands are formed. Tours happen. Babies are made. Marriages occur. I mean, literally, it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for so many people. And I am so grateful.
No one's ever been proposed to on Jam Cruise.
Oh, you heard about that, didn't you?
That would never happen, right?
So it was Jam Cruise 4, and I was on stage, and I was in a really bad mood. I had actually gotten a little feisty with a manager who is my dear friend, and then I had to do this award show, and I was dressed as a pirate. And it was just not one of my best days.
Right.
And I'm on stage doing this award show that we used to do, which we totally 86, thank God, because it just didn't work out. We would be like, the award for the highest bar tab goes to Tom Marshall. And then I'd be like,
right, what do you say now?
He's in the bar. Yeah. You know, and it just was so anticlimactic. I'm like, you know, let's just not do this anymore. And all of a sudden, Mark Brownstein from the Disco Biscuits comes up and he's like, well, Annabelle, we got one more award for you. And I'm like, seriously? Please don't call me out right now. I'm just in a bad mood.
Right. I want this to be over.
And they blindfold me. And so this was on Jam Cruise 5. And so wait, Jam Cruise 4. Basically, my now husband of 11 years today saw me up on stage doing the award show and said to himself, I'm going to propose to her right there in 1 year.
Oh, my God.
So it was a year in the planning, and apparently he'd gotten the ring from my mom and, you know, but wouldn't tell her when he was proposing. And, you know, my Jewish mom was like, what's going on? What are you guys doing? Peter, you going to propose to my daughter? And he's like, Sheila, just chill. Sheila, please. Jam Cruise 5, I'm in the worst mood, and they blindfold me, and all of a sudden I hear, okay, baby, and his voice is shaking. They take my blindfold off, and he's on his knee.
Geez. Wow.
And he's such an equalist. He's such a, you know, he's such an incredible partner that he just said, all right, baby, will you be my partner? And it was just beautiful, and everybody was in on it. And it's like, I know everything, okay?
You can't pull this one.
I didn't know anything. And my future band, you know, leader, Carl Denson, who the Tiny Universe played our wedding with DJ Logic spinning, was in the audience, and he knew about it, and my bridesmaids were in the audience, and it was just...
it's too good.
That's so funny you know about that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture. Someone did a real nice article of you, and I used it, like, for research. And I was popping down and I saw that beautiful picture. I decided I had to mention it.
Special moment. Good job, Peter.
A little bit more than 11 years ago today.
That's right.
So we have some other cool clips that we should get to.
One of the other clips I wanted to talk about, and we just were talking about some of my favorite places to see fish and some of my favorite moments. I mean, I just want to make sure to keep segueing back into that because it's so important. I mean, this is your now second year at Dix,
yes.
Right?
Yep, my second
Dix. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I mean, I think as, you know, I have listened through your podcast and as you you know, no, it, Dix in general is just...
It's very special.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
The venue's great. The shakedown is like no other. I mean, I bring $100 in cash and, you know, go shopping. It's like a department store for hippies. You know, it's so great. I'm trying on little outfits and I go, you know, hours beforehand so I can buy stuff. And it's just so much fun. And so it's just one of my favorite places to see Phish. Not, I mean, like, they did a light at Phish for Phish years ago here at Dick's. They did a light that even Fishman said it was the best light they've ever played. And John doesn't, like, I've talked to him about Tahoe Tweezer. I'm like, you realize what Tahoe Tweezer was, right? And he's like, no, was it good?
Yeah,
I'm
sometimes like, they don't know.
Right? It's the song that I listen to when I go to the dentist and, you know, get the gas.
Because it's 21 minutes and it's perfect.
I say, how much time is it going to take for you to fill this cavity? And he's like, 18 minutes. I'm like, perfect.
I'll do it.
So anyway, but just the Dull Dix thing, it's just incredible. And so, you know, like last night I went on the floor to go see some friends and came back and there was Paul Hoffman, who is the mandolin player from Green Sky Bluegrass.
Oh, okay, right.
And Paul and Anders have become some of my dearest friends, true, true, true friends, not just like people that I pay to work our events. And they're huge fish heads. I mean, their manager is Maddie Beck from Waterwheel.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, it's just, again, full circle. And when I was looking at clips, I mean, it was so hard. Like when I was looking at my Phish standouts, my moments from over the, you know, 25 years I've been seeing this band, it was, you know, looking at the Jam Cruise history, and my coworker Nate and I were looking through clips. He's here at Dick's. He lives in Florida. He was helping me with this because we were trying to talk about these moments, and it's really so much about the music, but just so much about the vibe.
Yes.
Just like Shakedown is and Dick's is and,
totally.
And everything in Atlantic City. And so I actually chose a clip from Green Sky Bluegrass covering
Atlantic City. Yeah.
Because that is one of Paul's favorite covers.
Oh,
and
cool.
It may, for some people, actually, I've talked to him about this, which is funny. It may be a bathroom song for Green Sky Bluegrass, which I can't understand because I think it's so great.
Right.
But I mean, a lot of people hear it a lot because Paul loves to play it because... And it's just beautiful. You think about Springsteen, and I saw Bruce Springsteen play with Phish at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just was just, I mean, it just is, this life that we live is so unique.
Yeah.
And I don't take it for granted.
No.
And that's why my energy is so positive no matter what happens, because my life never stops when it comes to Phish or Jam Cruise or music.
But also like how similarly, like you're choosing these clips because they relate back to Phish. So even though you're hearing a Green Sky Bluegrass cover of Atlantic City, you're doing it because you liked when Phish played in Atlantic City once.
I loved it. I love Atlantic City. It was just so fun.
All right, here we go. Atlantic City by Green Sky Bluegrass. That's really, really nice. I love that. So where would that occur on the boat?
That one, I think that was on the pool deck.
Okay, and is that like one of the bigger venues?
Yeah. The pool deck is the main venue. It's outside. It's beautiful. You know, for the most part, the weather is gorgeous.
Are people in the water like at Mexico Fish?
No, not at all.
Oh.
We cover the pool. There's one pool that we actually, the dance floor is...
Under
there is
un, a pool
is above
under. I see.
The pool.
Right.
The pool is under, and we put
a dance
floor. It's really nice. And
okay, cool.
So usually on the cruise lines, it was two pools. And so we cover one of them and let people swim in the pool, not during the shows, but during the day.
Okay.
But the hot tubs are open. I'll tell you, the hot tubs, people hanging in during the shows, and they're not clean. Let's just, I mean, it's, that people get happy in there. I can only imagine what has gone on in the hot tubs of,
I don't know.
So it's like Coventry in a way. I'm just kidding. But anyway, but I mean, the bands usually play the larger band, like Main Squeeze, that was in one of our smaller venues, but the main bands play the pool deck, and they also play the theater. And I'm just, you know, recalling the, you know, numerous legendary bands that we have had on board GM Cruise. One of, you know, obviously a very connected artist to Fish and to Trey is Les Claypool. And, you know, he's an interesting dude, and yes, he loves GM Cruise.
Oh, really?
That's cool. Really does. And he, the crazy also thing is, he loves me, and we have this very unique friendship. And it's just so cool because I feel so honored that he has, you know, he gets me. He trusts me with everything.
He's fun to carry on a conversation with.
Just,
he's got that funny accent.
Fun. Oh, yeah. It's great. I know, yeah. I know. What that, well, the one story I was going to tell, which I wasn't even planning to, was just, GM, you asked something that you said you wanted to hear somewhat about, was some of the disasters of GM Cruise.
Yes.
And I don't want to call it a disaster. It was a challenge. But GM Cruise 1 and GM Cruise 2 were back-to-back.
Okay.
And we actually didn't know from the guy that ran this little cruise line that we chartered, which that ship is definitely out of the water at this point. I mean, it definitely was questionable when we were on it, okay? When we found out when we got on board that we were going to Key West. Well, we knew we were going to Key West before we were going back to Fort Lauderdale. But what we didn't know, because this was new to us, was that since you were going back into American waters before your port of disembarkation, you had to clear customs and immigration. So we had to gather 900 passengers, not only on GM Cruise 1, but GM Cruise 2, at 6 o'clock in the morning. And nobody could get off the ship until everybody cleared. So people were sleeping in the hallways. People had lost their passports. And my job was to lead all of these musicians in a single file line through customs and immigration. And Les Claypool was like, so, Annabelle, I got to tell you something. I never thought that I would be lining up like a duck, following the mother duck through this kind of a situation. But here I am following you, and I just want to let you know of that. So it just was, it was great. I was just like, Les, I'm sorry. I got you, dude. We're gonna do this together.
Wow,
so
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, that was like a mistake that you obviously didn't repeat. So really, the rule is, when you come back into U.S. waters, land in the port that you disembarked from.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So we've learned that the hard way, but it's not like we did that on purpose. But it's, I mean, you know, we have,
that's interesting,
every year on GM Cruise, there's something that happens.
Okay.
And we just have to roll with it. I mean, you know, so many people identified and really felt for me when Curveball happened, because they know what it's like for me to run events and for it to be so challenging. You have to deal with challenges all the time.
Yes.
We ran into another challenge, and I'll actually go into another clip that actually, I don't think you're going to play the clip. You might have started this interview with the banter, but
I heard the banter.
But it was about, you know, again, it just has to do with being in it together.
Yeah.
And in life, it's scary to go through things as a team, because being lonely and being afraid to, you know, jump in is normal. You look at the United States and how divided we are in many ways right now, but then you look at the jam band scene and we are like, we are one.
Yeah.
And so we will conquer all. And it's interesting because, so there were very high winds years ago on Jam Cruise, and we had found out about the high winds 2 days beforehand, and we were told by our production manager in the cruise line that we had to shut down the pool deck.
Oh.
So when I have, you know, 9 shows approximately on the pool deck for the last day at sea, it's the last day at sea, so the music goes from 11 in the morning to 4 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm doing the programming. I have to scrounge for a solution, and I don't have a solution.
Right.
But you have to figure out a solution no matter what. You know, it's it just, it wasn't like Curveball. We couldn't cancel. We had to have the show go on. So I start rearranging shows in places that shouldn't happen.
Oh, I see.
And I'm putting full bands in the piano atrium where you just heard Ivan Neville and maybe a couple of other people singing Crash. I was putting, you know, an 8-piece rock band.
Oh, boy. So in a space where they really can't fit.
And when, so my boss, you know, Mark was just like, figure it out. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's like, I don't care. And I mean, you know, we were on, you know, 11. We were, you know, not stressed, but I mean, it was hard for me. And I had to maintain composure because all the passengers are asking me, what are we doing? And I have to, I got to have my game face on. Everything is okay. We're going to figure it out. And I'll get back to you and let you know as soon as possible what the situation will be. Then Mark is like, figure out where Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds are going. And I'm like, they're going to go in the atrium. And he's like, but they can't go in the atrium. And I'm like, I don't have any other choice. And he's like, fine. Well, look, it was one of the most energetic, powerful performances we've ever had on Jam Cruise because it beat all odds. It redefined what can happen in a small space, and everybody's energy was like, we can do it. The show must go on. And they played an encore of Fat Bottom Girls.
And, oh, nice.
And then I just sort of got on the mic afterwards and was like, this is what Jam Cruise is about. It is about, you know, inspiration and improvisation and collaboration. And, you know, we did it.
That's
we
beautiful.
Pulled it off, and people will remember that as a very special moment on Jam Cruise that could have been a disaster but turned into a triumph.
Like in a huge storm, you'd have to just find land quick.
Well, we've never been in that situation. Okay. We've been fairly safe on board. If anything, we've actually gotten to a situation where we can't go to port.
Oh, what's that one about?
If the waves are too high, we can't actually stop at the port.
You have to stay
out.
So
we've had to, there was another situation a couple years ago where I had to program a day of music on the pool deck. It was not, you know, bad weather. It was high winds, and we couldn't actually go to one of our ports. So we went and spent another day at sea. And my boss is like, what are we doing? And I'm like, we're doing Dead. And he's like, great, get a Dead band together. And so I have to, and it's not like I can text or call these musicians where there's no cell service. So I have to like run around and be like, okay, everybody, somebody find Dan Leibowitz from ALO and find Steve Kimmock. And we're putting together a Dead band.
Whoa.
And so many of the musicians have played in Dead bands or now Dead music that we got this ridiculously cool Dead band together, and we had a gorgeous, gorgeous random day at sea. It couldn't have been a more perfect day. We can definitely play a clip of that. So we will go into that at one point, but I just will say that it was another situation of turning a potential tragedy into a triumph.
Yes, all right. Well, let's hear that.
Exactly.
Right.
Well,
actually, tragedies.
This one was I give total credit to my boss, Mark, because we had an artist that canceled last minute.
Whoa.
Right, like the day before the cruise. And
okay.
It was like, what are we going to do? And in this situation, we had a couple of members of the band Electron, which is, we had Lotus on board Jam Cruise, and Tom Hamilton, Mark Brownstein and Aaron Magner, all, you know, jam band heroes, in a band called Electron. They've been on board before. I think there was another thing that we had to reschedule, and they played a makeup set, and they were already on board, or maybe all of the members were, and that was years ago. So, you know, we're on a team.
Yeah.
And so Mark called Mark Brownstein and got Electron within, I think, 24 hours. I mean, Mark has three kids. And Aaron Magner has three kids. And it was just like, they're like, we're leaving you. We're going on Jam Cruise. And maybe one of the wives was like, well, I'm coming with you. I'll call the in-laws. Let's, yeah. you know. And it's just, they came on board and did an Electron set that was so special and so just meaningful that they could pull together so quickly,
yeah.
and then have such an incredible set. It was a gorgeous night on the pool deck, gorgeous, and we were just celebrating life,
yeah.
and celebrating triumph.
And so they didn't practice; they just came out.
I think I got them a rehearsal. I let some of the bands rehearse.
Got it.
Just you know, if they're doing unique sets, but I got them a rehearsal. But beside that, it was just a throw and go.
Beautiful.
And then I happened to be in the right place at the right time, and I think I was having dinner with them, and we were recalling, you know, the magnitude of how quick they had to get their shit together to get on board. And they were talking about Exodus. They were talking about doing Exodus, and someone had mentioned David Hines. So we had Steel Pulse on.
Mm.
So David Hines is amazing. I don't know if you've seen Steel Pulse or met David Hines, but his dreadlocks are as thick as I am. And he's just a funny guy and just really into it. He is the real deal. And I was like, I'll get him. I'll get him. They were like, you really can? I'm like, I'll get David Hines. Just tell me when the song is going to be, and I'll have him on the side of the stage. And it's just so impromptu. So I'm running around the ship, and I'm like, I get it on the radio. Everybody, if anybody has eyes on Dave Hines, let me know. And then I found him, and I was like, I need you. I need you to come with me in 15 minutes.
You're about to sing.
You're about to sit in with a band that you've never heard of. They're going to cover Exodus. And he was like, okay, let's go.
I'll do that.
And it just was
That's awesome.
Jumping up and down on the side of the stage
because
I feel accomplished, and I just feel just so happy that this has just been able to happen on Jam Cruise.
Right.
It's really special.
Oh, that's great. Oh, all right, here we go. That's amazing. That's a real good version too. That's sweet.
They really nailed it. They really do. I mean, those band members, independent of David Hines, have known each other for so many years. I mean, we all used to hang out at Wetlands together.
So now that's Disasters. Do you have like any days that go perfectly well and everything's perfect?
Yeah. Like, let's just even bring up last year. And I was telling you that that I missed Killing in the Name of years ago in the theater. I knew that one of my favorite artists, Andy Frasco, and the UN were going to play this song. And again, it was just one of those perfect days at sea, and we were sailing exactly where we were supposed to. And that's another band everybody needs to check out, Andy Frasco and the UN. But he's young and powerful and crazy and fun and weird and obnoxious and crass and says fuck after every word, which is impressive that this is actually the first time I've used this word, because I did ask you if profanity was okay, and
right.
Andy really is a little bit crass in this song, but he did a cover of Killing in the Name of, and I literally was just levitating through the whole thing.
Nice.
It was as headbanging as you would want this song to be coming from a band on Jam Cruise, and they just basically nailed it. And it's just so fun how free bands on Jam Cruise can be.
I also like how that's kind of crossover into like you might say a different style of music.
It doesn't, jam bands, what is a jam band?
It doesn't matter, you know, right.
It doesn't matter. It's not a genre, it's not a style, it just is anything you want it to be.
And I'm always impressed with how well listened, you know, like the Phish fan base is, and recognize, you know, what I think is an obscure cover immediately.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's like so awesome. Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I don't, even the teases, they teased Eminence Front the other night.
Yes. You know,
I mean, they definitely, it's just, it's all over the place. Yep. The inspiration that the jam band scene and Phish, you know.
Or even like the Beastie Boys. Everyone knew every word when they did that.
I was at the Meriwether show in 98 when they encored with Sabotage.
Yes.
And I just have to say that that was ridiculous.
It was the more energy than I've ever felt.
Ever.
It was incredible.
It was so crazy.
A wave came from the stage and just washed over us.
Especially because the beginning of that song, it's just like, it hits you.
Didn't it?
From the first note. Yeah. And so I just remember being there. And then it's so funny because, you know, no one ever necessarily thinks then go to Virginia Beach the next night. But I was... you know, young and on tour at that point and being silly and, you know, God, 98, Jerry Day, and then they bust out with Terrapin. It's always been like a Phish versus Dead thing. Does Phish play the Dead?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. This is so funny. And of course, it's great. Then Trace and Dead & Co. with Bob Weir.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, God, I mean, the stories are so fluid.
Yeah.
But yes, you bring that up. And then the Beastie Boys and, you know, Rage and Andy Frasco. And it just, it keeps going. It never stops. It's endless.
I love that.
I remember being at the 30th anniversary at Boston and that video, you know, I just remember that. Or, you know, my 30th birthday at the Gorge, which was one of the most powerful moments I've ever had at a Phish show, when the show was over and my crew, my family, sang happy birthday. And then the entire bowl at the Gorge sang happy birthday. It was like an echo. It was ridiculous, but just...
That's too much.
And I just had my 45th birthday and went to see Dead & Co. And it just... We're so alive.
Yeah, I know.
In a world that sometimes can be so dark, we bring... light. So that's why it's like Andy Frasco and this next clip. It's not like this Rage song is dark. It's as light as it can be.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. That is like, you know, when I hear about Jam Cruise, I don't expect to hear that song. But like we said, crossover is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we have our events beside Jam Cruise that we do, Panic and La Playa, Widespread Panic. They do tons of covers, strings and soul, you know, maybe a bluegrass event that we do. But everybody loves to bring in covers and sort of blow their fans' minds on the boundaries that they, you know, love to push. It's just, as I was saying, it's just the opportunities are endless.
Yes. Well, speaking of blowing minds, I think you've blown everyone's mind with all that real cool clips that you brought, and also with your amazing stories, Annabelle.
Just talk about, everyone says, you know, what was your favorite Phish show? Everyone says, you know, you've seen a lot of Phish shows. What was the best? I mean, I had a blast at Coventry. I know it was sad and we all cried, but I mean, I had my rain boots and I was in the mud and it didn't matter for me. I got to see so many people and I loved to cry with all of them and, you know, whatever. One of the craziest stories I ever had was being in Vegas in 1996 and seeing the Harpua or seeing the Peaches and Regalia. There's Les Claypool there and just the stories that go along with that. And you know, I never missed any of the big moments.
Right.
So I was at Shoreline in 2000 when you know, they took their break and I was at MSG in, you know, 2002 when Piper came and I was...
Shoreline was just touching when at the very end the lights came on and it was the crew breaking down.
The best.
And we all gave them a standing ovation.
Amazing.
And they weren't expecting it.
That's so, I mean, that's, you think about it. You think about what the foundation is, and that's why it's so nice that the foundation of Cloud Nine actually is so public. Like, I am out there, so people really identify with the event because I'm not, you know, I'm not just in black with a radio behind the scenes.
Right.
You know, I really am out there.
You're out there.
And that was beautiful. That
so
was
did you
beautiful.
Give me in that? Did I interrupt you? You were about to get
no,
to
I mean,
a favorite
again, we
or
could
all
just
these
talk to forever. No,
all
just a favorite.
Favorites.
No, it all leads up to it. You know, Hampton when we all came back and whatever. But really was, you know, the bet was Cyprus.
Oh, yes. Me too.
I mean, it was
that was
the
a
most
peak life moment. It's not just peak fish.
Exactly.
Peak life.
I always say that was better than my wedding day in a sense. It was like, it's like in a do not break, you know, emergency box at the top of the list. It just was the, you know, it was just
the pinnacle and it's going to stay there. Right. I mean, it's so beautiful and wonderful. Although we keep hoping for another one, you know, to surpass it.
Sure.
Right?
But that's great. We always keep, that's why we keep coming back.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, I go to see my friends and my family and, you know, that's one of the reasons I go is just for the vibe, but I always am trying to catch that next, you know, that next peak.
We're surfing from peak to peak.
And they get there. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a highs or a lows or whatever. I'd rather be at a fish show than be anywhere else. You know, and I'm just
too.
Incredibly, incredibly grateful that, you know, we have had so many similar experiences and we all just keep rolling.
Yep. Awesome, Annabelle. Well, this Dix run has been a peak, no question. You know,
it is so special. I can't wait for the Sunday show.
And we're not going to miss a Sunday show.
Never.
All right, Annabelle, thank you so much.
Osiris.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.